Greg had asked me to fill in for him this morning. I spent some time praying and seeking God on what he would have me to share. Where's my wife go? She's got to tell me when to quit. She's left me, guys. She'll be back. Battle techniques for war-weary saints. Does anybody ever fight a battle? I think everybody does. We all have battles to fight. We will continue to have battles to fight. You're not going to get over them. But the good news is you got help. And I'm going to share with you, and some of this has come from Mike Murdock. How many know who Mike Murdock is? Does anybody? One, two. Well, he was a great evangelist. He really was a good evangelist. And he was different, but he was good. And he put out a few books and a lot of little pamphlets that were just tremendous about encouraging the Christians. And so some of the things I'll be sharing come from Mike Murdock. And a battle is simply meeting opposition on a road to a miracle. When you encounter a battle, remember, it speaks to you that there's a miracle just down the road. And God's got something good up for you. How many know God's up to something good? He's a good God. Amen. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 2nd verse says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And Isaiah writes there that you may go through a lot of different battles and tests, but none of them are going to have an effect on you because God's going to be with you. Let's pray. Father, this morning we ask for your, once again, for your anointing. We ask for your touch and pray, God, that you will anoint the word to our ears to hear and receive. Anoint my lips to speak. May I not speak of anything of myself, but only of the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. What is a battle? It is any opposition, pain, or difficulty that you might experience in your walk of life. While you're attempting to obey, especially when you're attempting to obey something that God has wanted you to do, God's got a plan for your life, and he's wanting you to do something. And if you begin to do what God has instructed you to do, I can say this morning, be assured that you're going to face a battle. You're going to face war. And the devil is a thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." How many know that life and not life more abundantly overrides what the devil can do? He's a loser. He's the biggest loser there ever was. And we're talking about battle that you and I go through. in our life, in our Christian walk, in our attempting to obey God, and to see that His dreams for our lives are complete. There will be opposition for those things. Believe it or not, the person next to you is not your enemy. Turn to them and say, "You're not my enemy." Now, I know some of you husbands and wives aren't talking. But before we leave this morning, you will be. We are not each other's enemies. Amen. Your real enemy is the devil. Now, who is he? He's an ex-employee of heaven. He had a job to do. He had a big job, a good job, but he got fired because he wanted to exalt himself above God. And so God fired him, and I am in agreement with that. Now, the nature of your enemy, Satan despises God, and he hates anything that receives God's attention. So how many knows that Satan is not greater than God? He has no power over God. So he's angry about that. So what does he do? He focuses his attention on God's people. And you and I become the focus point of his attacks, of his battles. The battles we face are in our lives because Satan hates God, and we're the only way he can get even with God. Because he knows God loves us and desires the best for us. Amen? Job 1 and 10 says, "Hast not thou made a hedge?" This is, and I was thinking of this because Satan despises God and hates anything that God does. In Job 1 and 10, I was thinking, this may be one of the only times that Satan really is quoted in the Bible. But there is a couple others. But in Job 1 and 10, God, you remember the story about how Job was blessed and then he lost a lot. But God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Job said, or the devil said in Job 1:10, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all the things that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land." And so God says, "I'll take my hands off of him, but you can't kill him. You can touch anything he has, but you can't touch him." And so you know the story of Job, how he lost his wealth and his family and lost a lot of things, the things that were in his life. But Job stood the test. Why does Satan this morning oppose you? He opposes you because you are the potential of pleasure in God. How many have children? Your children are a pleasure to you. And we are a pleasure to God. And God, and so the devil knows that God's potential pleasure in us, the devil knows that that's the place to attack. His real enemy is God, because he is powerless against God. He attacks that which is closest to the heart of God, and that's you and I. That's why he attacks us. He wants to prevent the arrival of a miracle in your life. He did battle with the angel. You remember that story, David's life, how that God had sent an angel with an answer to David, and yet he fought and fought, and time passed, and nothing really happened. And finally, David had to get the archangel Gabriel to come and help him do battle. So the devil has some power. It's just not against God. And finally, between the angel and Gabriel, they finally was able to defeat the devil and bring the blessing to David that God really had wanted him to have. What are Satan's favorite weapons? I've got some real neat things here to share this morning. Delays, deceit, distractions, and disappointments. Those four things. I've actually preached a sermon just on those four points. Delays are one of his favorite weapons. When he tries to stop or abort the arrival of a desired miracles, he knows, the devil knows, that a delay can weaken your desire to keep reaching. If after a while you'll get tired of waiting, and you'll say, well, we'll also, we'll say, God, what's the problem here? Why haven't I got what you promised me? What's the problem? And we get tired of waiting, and we become weakened in our desire to reach out for what God's got for us. If you want to write down Daniel 10, 2 through 14, sometime you can read that. That'll share that. Deceit. Satan is a master of deception and error. And he knows if he can get people to believe a lie or believe something that's not biblical, not godly, that he can turn people's hearts and thoughts away from what God wants to do in their life. He is deceitful. Number three is distractions. And that is when we are focused on something that God wants and we believe God really wants to do for us or for our family or for our church or in our job. He breaks that focus so that we are no longer focused on that. And when you are no longer focused on something, you don't pray about it. You don't think about it. You think it's lost. You come to the conclusion that this just isn't going to happen in my time or in my life. How many's ever had that experience? Just didn't happen when you thought it should. And I understand that. Broken focus is the goal of all satanic attacks. Proverbs 4 and 27 says, turn not to the right nor to the left. The fourth thing is disappointments. And we can become disappointed with ourselves, or we can become disappointed with others, perhaps a husband or a wife. I know many times Marcy's been disappointed with me, and I don't think I've ever been disappointed with her. She's too smart for me. She's a smart cookie. But disappointed, things that you expected out of someone, but it didn't happen. Could be your job. Could be a promotion. It could be a healing in your body that you've prayed for years and years and asked God for a healing. You believe Him with all your heart. You believe in that God can heal anything. There is nothing too difficult for Him. Yet you continue to suffer with something that has been in your physical being all your life. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I know that many, many believers have been disappointed. I'm not disappointed with God. I'm disappointed with me. And I look in the mirror and I say, God, this is something. Is it something that I've done or I should have done? What is the problem? There's a disappointment there because something has not happened when I wanted it to happen. But I want to tell you this morning, though you may be disappointed with yourself or you may be disappointed with others, don't be disappointed with God, because He's going to come through for you. He's going to come through. I last May, I started getting sick, and the doctors didn't know what to look for. They was looking in all the wrong places, and they finally, after 2 months, they found cancer in my colon. And so from July until almost, I guess, November, they've treated me with chemotherapy. And I thought the devil, he might want to kill me. But yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm not both big and brave, but when the doctor come out and said, you have cancer, lymphoid stage 4, lymphoma stage 4 in my colon, and we want to treat it with chemotherapy. And you know, I've heard people just, that would shake their world. But you know what? God gave me such a peace, and I had that peace, and I said, well, whether I go or whether I stay really wouldn't make any difference. Might be better to go to be with the Lord. Don't let the devil steal from you through disappointments. God's going to come through for you. He came through for me. I'm still alive. I'm not the person I was. Probably some of that my wife would say is good. I'm better in some areas. I'm not as strong as I was a year ago, a little over, but I'm still alive, and thank God for that. Predicting your seasons of attack. You will have battles to fight, and you can predict those seasons. We need to be smarter than the devil. Okay? We need to be aware of things. There are specific seasons when you may personally experience unusual warfare in your life. One is when you become physically exhausted or fatigued. You're vulnerable at that moment for the devil to attack you and bring warfare to you. Number two, when you face major changes in your life. This may be your career or perhaps moving to another location. I'm sure the mansion girls can identify with this, but let me just bring it to everybody. We all can identify with this. And when we face major changes in our life, and it may be job related, it may be career related, it may be moving to another location. I know Aaron has been transplanted, and I hope he understands that he's put in good grounds here. he's planted next to some other plants that love him and his family so very much. Crisis always occurs on the curve of change. That's why patience is so beneficial. We need to have patience. God teaches patience. What is it they used to say? I want patience and I want it right now. Well, sometimes patience is something you work on and is evolved in your life. That's why patience is so beneficial, because you will, at some point in your life, on the curve of change, you will encounter a crisis or a battle. Lamentations 3 and 25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait on him. If you trust in the Lord and wait on him, he's going to be good to you. You can be assured of that. When a specific miracle has just left the hand of God towards you, you can be assured that the devil's going to come and try to come between that miracle that God's wanting to give to you. Daniel prayed 21 days for his prayers to be answered. When the angel of the Lord finally appeared, he explained the warfare that it was necessitated, the assistance of Michael, the archangel, to help. And I said David before it, but it is Daniel. You can erase what I said earlier and put Daniel in there, okay? And if you want to look at the scriptures, Daniel 10 and 13, when a miracle's on its way to you. So when you have a battle that you're facing, and you say, but God, what's going on here? Why am I having this battle? I love you. I'm paying my tithe. I'm going to church regular. What's going on here that I'm having this battle? How many like battles? I don't like battles. And yeah, I've asked God what's going on. I have. Maybe you haven't, but I think you probably all of us have. We've asked God what is going on. The intensity of the warfare usually indicates the degree of potential that a project possesses. Can you put your mouth around that? The intensity of the warfare that's against you. Usually indicates the degree or the size of potential that a project possesses. What God is going to do for you and through you, the amount of that and the size of that, usually you can judge by the warfare that comes against you. So if you're in a battle this morning, if you're in a tug for your life, for every your family, for anything this morning, if you're in a tug of war, just stop for a moment and say, thank God something good's in store for me. Something good is coming down the pike. Hallelujah. God's about to do something good for me. And you can say that. When you're next in line for a promotion from God, when Joseph, you know the story of Joseph, when he announced the dream that God had given him, his own brothers in bitterness sold him into slavery. So sometimes God's going to do something fantastic for you. Don't tell your brothers. Be careful who you tell. His reputation of honor, you know, while he was there as put in prison and given positions of honor, his reputation of honor was stripped because of one lie from Potiphar's wife. And he went back to prison. Now, he's not going to feel too good about that. He said, God, you know my heart. You know what I want, what I don't want. And you know this thing with Potiphar's wife. You know that was the devil just trying to fix things up to get him in trouble. But you know that every obstacle that he faced drew him one step closer to God's final promotion for him. Each day of adversity simply ushered him closer to the throne. Your most effective weapons. I'm still okay. It's not 1 o'clock, is it? Okay. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to go to one. your most effective weapons. If we're going to have warfare, and we know we are, we must have weapons to fight that battle. You will never win a spiritual battle logically. You cannot sit down and think, man, I can win this thing. Let me figure it out. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we know that the weapons that we fight, our warfare, we cannot fight them with our mentality. We cannot sit down and figure it out how we're going to win this battle. They are not carnal, but our weapons are strong through the Lord. Amen. And mighty through God that will pull down the strongholds. See, your battle is really a signal that something is en route to you from God. Anybody going through a battle today? Anybody? Right now in your life, you're going through a battle. Things aren't happening like you'd like it to happen, or you thought it might happen. Well, just remember, that battle you're going through now is a signal from God to you that something good is in store for you. You must know and speak the word of God. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of my word. And if they're destroyed for lack of knowledge of the word of God, then they can be victorious because of their knowledge. I want to know the word of God. I want to know what God has to say for. And by the way, he has something good to say about everything that you face. You will not face anything in your life that God doesn't have a promise for and a provision for. Understand that. Know that. Know the word of God. Speak the word of God. Your conversation should reflect the mentality of a conqueror. That's something I got from Mike Murdoch. Your conversation should reflect the mentality of a conqueror. Are you a conqueror? When you talk, do you speak those kind of words? Look at me, devil, not God. I'm not trying. We don't want to brag before God, but we want to brag before the devil. Just look at me. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of power. You can't win over me. God is my victor. I say, I am a conqueror through him. You must take authority over Satan, and you do it in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, 9 and 10 says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You must reflect the power of prayer. Respect the power of prayer. Do you set aside time to pray? Is prayer important in your life? When you pray, do you believe God hears you? If you pray and believe that God hears you, then you know that he will answer you. You must respect the power of prayer. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. If you are living for the Lord, don't get afraid of that. Sometimes we get afraid of that word righteous. It just simply means that I'm walking in the right way. Doesn't mean that I'm any better than you or any better than you. It just means that I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm walking in the way he wants me to walk. That's simply what righteous means. And when you are doing that, then your prayer is effectual and fervent then God hears you and he'll answer you. And that's what I want, don't you? There are four forces that shorten your seasons of struggle. How many would like the problems or the battles you're going through right now just to evaporate? How many would like for them to evaporate? When you face an obstacle or something that you're facing, how many would just like to say, thank you, Jesus, and it's gone? We all would like that. Well, it don't happen quite like that, does it? But there are seasons, forces that will shorten your seasons of struggle. Number one is your speaking. Words of faith that build you up in the spirit. Faith talking is explosive. What you're speaking. What you're speaking. You're singing. Amen. Your singing, your worship. It creates a climate that Satan cannot tolerate. I want to tell you, when we begin to worship the Lord here in church, the Satan's not going to hang around because he can't stand that. He can't stand that at all. Songs of worship and praise dispels demonic spirits, as Saul discovered when David played. You remember how that David played and soothed the spirit of Saul. Also remember one other, David, when David first was told that he was going to take, and they said he went up to the palace and he was strumming on his thing and he said, Saul, Saul, you're sitting on the throne now, but you won't be long. Saul, Saul, you're sitting on the throne, but you won't be long. Y'all didn't get that? Did I miss something there? David soothed the spirit of Saul. When David was chosen to be the follower of Saul. Number three, your sharing in the prayer of agreement with others has power. There's power. Your seed sowing creates a partnership with God that involves him in your adversity. Malachi 3:10 and 11 shares that. There are two important closing truths. Your battle is always for a reason. God is teaching you something, more than likely. Your battle is always for a reason. Your battle is always for a season, a time frame. It's not going to last forever. The warfare and the battle you're going through will not last forever. Don't consult your circumstances to determine your attitude. Hello. Don't consult your circumstances, what you're going through, and let it determine your attitude toward it or toward God or toward life or toward anything. There's some real good things, and I'm going to close when I go through these real quickly. It's 20 minutes till 12. Principles and techniques to remember. You will never outgrow warfare. You simply must learn to fight. Everybody know how to grit your teeth and hold on like a bulldog? Number two, God's purpose in your crisis is not your survival, but it's your education. Nothing is ever as bad as it first appears. And I got scriptures for each one of these if you want them. Failure is not an event, it's an opinion. That's good. Failure cannot happen in your life without your permission. You have to give up. You say, okay, I'll accept it. I'm no good. Nobody wants me. I'm a failure. That's not the attitude God wants you to have. And that's not the attitude of a winner, is it? Satan always attacks what he fears the most. That's kind of encouraging, isn't it? That he's afraid of you and I, so he'll attack us. Well, that means that I'm going to stand up strong in the Lord because I know I can defeat him. Struggle is always the proof that you have not been conquered yet. Warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. Warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. Satan always attacks those who are next in line for promotion. So you get attacked and you say, well, thank God. I mean, I don't like being attacked. I don't like warfare. But if I think about it in this way, and I think, this attack means I'm next in line for promotion, then I can thank God. Satan always attacks those in line next for promotion. Stop looking at what you can see and start looking at what you can have. Come on now. Somebody ought to shout amen. Stop looking at what you can see and start looking at what you can have. That's good stuff. No one has been a loser longer than Satan. Never speak words that make Satan think he is a winner. Just watch what you say. Those unwilling to lose usually never. Battle is your chance for recognition, both in heaven and in hell. Battle is your chance for recognition, both in heaven and in hell. And the devil's going to know it. But God's going to know it. And he's going to take care of you. Amen. Warfare. I don't like it. To be honest, I just should not be in a battle. Just soon not be in a battle. I'd like everything to run real smooth, wouldn't you? Everything is peachy creamy. That's what I like. But that's not the way it is. That's not the way it happens. Our lives, at times we struggle. We have warfare. We have problems. We have things that we face that we'd rather not face. We'd rather have everything taken care of by God. God, you take care of it for me. Take the pain away and take the attack away. Move it all out of my way. Let me just sit and relax and let things run smooth for me. But that's not how it happens. And many of you and I, let me say this. I think all of us are going through some battles and having attacks of some degree or another. All of us. And I want to turn them over to the Lord this morning. I want to turn them over to the Lord. So I want you that are going through a battle, or you're having an attack on you that's not God, but it's the devil. You know it is. You recognize it. And you're tired of it and sick and tired of it and want to get rid of it. I want you to stand to your feet right now. slip out and come and stand here in front. We're going to pray with you. Prayer team, come too. We're going to pray with you. Stand across the front here. If you're going through a battle, or there's been an attack on you in any way, shape, or form, maybe financial, it may be physical, your health, it may be relationships, whatever it is, I know this morning that God is able to deliver us from that. Amen. Move the line over if we can. Let's move over so we can get everybody in. And I'm standing in part of that line. Do you believe God's able to help take care of it? Does everybody believe that? I know He is. I know He's able. And I know He wants to. And it hurts. It hurts when you're attacked, and when you have obstacles, and when you have things come against you. You can't control, or you can't do anything about it. You don't have the answer, and it hurts. But God wants this morning to help you with that hurt, to help you with that obstacle. And I want our prayer team just to start down the line and start praying with everybody. We're going to pray with everybody here. And ask God to do a work in your life and touch you and bring victory and make you a conqueror. That's what you're designed to be in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's do that. Come on, guys, gals. Begin, if you will. Father, I thank you.